Good morning. We are so glad to have you with us this morning. And I was going to say I'm a little bit biased, but today is a very special day because today is Mother's Day, and we want to honor you mothers joining us online as well as in person here. And we're just so thankful for you guys. You know, I was thinking this morning, no one has impacted me personally more than my mom. And especially just seeing her example of how she loved the Lord. And in my youth, that was the thing that made me want to love Jesus, because I saw my mom modeling that. So never underestimate your influence, moms. You're very important. True. So let's stand together and worship the Lord this morning.
Be Worship.
draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years in men for
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we worship your holy name. You are holy because you are high and above. You are separated from sinfulness, yet you chose to enter our world. Become a human being, live just like we live. Yes, we know you died a real human death. Yet you also, in your divinity, you rose from the dead. And now that same power that raised you from the dead, God offers that to us. And that just shows the profound grace and mercy and love that you want us to receive. And taking that gift, sharing it with those around us. Jesus, as we come to worship you, we also brought our list. Those people, those circumstances, the settings in life that need, well, your involvement. We pray that you would provide what each one that we've prayed for needs. And we pray not only, Lord, for those near and dear to us on our list, but we do pray for the whole world. We pray that your good news would keep getting out to people, that those that have never heard the message, those who have never met you, that they would be ushered into your family. We pray for all those that are preaching today across our country and our state, those in our city. As we often do, we pray for world leaders, governmental leaders, corporate leaders. And we pray for those in our country and in our region. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. In fact, I pray that they would make decisions that they would discover correspond to your truth and your will. As we come today, we do want to worship you, and we want to thank all the mothers, the stepmothers, the stand-in mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers. Lord, on this day, continue to bless them so they can continue to be the great blessing that they are to us. Lord, I pray for those who have lost a mother in any of these categories recently. Be with them today in their loss and their grief. Bring to them the best of memories. As we worship you, we want to lift you up, Lord. I ask that you would lift us up as well, that we could worship you both in truth and in spirit this morning. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So wave to those around you. Let's thank those leading us in worship. Great job. So things keep just moving along. We're more than halfway in our Refresh God's House fundraising project. This week, the main carpet on the floor is going to begin to go in the sanctuary. We're not too far away from the gutting of the two main bathrooms and their remodel. Then we go to the kitchen. Somewhere in there, the kids zone portable will be re-roofed, and we'll get some windows on the second story here in the fellowship center that have been needed for a while. So thank you for your generosity. Everybody's contribution is both important and irreplaceable. So thank you for that. As I mentioned to you, lots of good things have been going on. The next new thing is in children and youth. They are going to start their baptism confirmation gathering. The end result of that is that we'll have a bunch of baptisms. We have adults that would like to be baptized. We'll have students as well as some children. After they have professed their faith, we do a variety of modes of baptism. Some will be, as they call it, sprinkled here on the platform. Following the third service, we'll head to Port Williams Beach. And as my Greek professor said, Jesus went into the water and out of the water. They will go into the water and they will come out of the water, and they will be very cold, but they will remember their baptism in a wonderful, wonderful way. And of course, we'll invite you and give you the directions and the time so that you can be a part of that great event as well. Today we have Dave and Carol Neidhard reading our scripture passage.
Okay, we're reading from John 6, 32 to 40. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did, and now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day."
Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up from the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day.
We're talking about an internal journey. We've established that God does want us to ask him to be the leader of our life. That happens in time and space. For some, it's a crossing over at one point, and that might happen very quickly. For others, it's a process, and they discover one day, perhaps because they were raised in a Christian home, that they have crossed over into Jesus being the leader of their life. Once we've asked Jesus to be the leader of our life, as we're regenerated, we're also a part of the transformation process known as sanctification. The Holy Spirit calls to us. That's how we can hear the voice of God calling us. He prompts us. And in our profession of faith, he indwells us. And now the Holy Spirit is transforming us from the inside out. And that process is known as sanctification. How do we cooperate or lean into the process of sanctification? How do we, so to speak, help the Holy Spirit transform us from the inside out? It has everything to do with what is our target in life. What are we aiming for? What are we shooting for? What is at the bullseye of the target of our life? That is what we hope will define us as a significant person. That'll help us to stand out. That will be the thing that we're remembered for, because we didn't just make some impression, we made an impact in who we are and what we did. I think we yearn to feel significant. It's part of being a human being. The key is, what's the target? What's the bullseye? Here's what Jesus says. Blessed are those who are hungry and they thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Well, we want to be full. We're looking for meaning and purpose, for significance in this life. The key is, where do we believe that significance will come from? What's the source? What's the target? What's the bullseye? Most of us as human beings want to take matters into our own hands. And because we yearn for fulfillment, because we have this kind of hunger and thirst for significance, what we go about seeking that significance in our own human ways, our own human efforts. We take matters into our own hands and define significance as a great amount of pleasure. And yes, we're to enjoy life, we're to have pleasure, but well, we kind of take pleasure and we put it as the bullseye in life, and everything is about our pleasure. In fact, we even work so that we have more money, so that we can have a more pleasurable life. Less work, more play. More avocations to add to our vocation. More toys, more trips. And we think that if they get better and bigger, somehow that will make us feel more significant. Because isn't all of life about experiencing pleasure? Here's what the wisdom of Ecclesiastes declares. No matter how much you see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. We may have more toys. We may have more trophies. We may have more titles, all wanting to bring us significance and pleasure. We may hear accolades from other people. In fact, we yearn for that. Yet we're not content. We're not satisfied. We don't feel significant. And you know, well, there's always something to get in the way that interferes with our pleasure in life. Number two, we think it's in our performance. We do think it is in our great human effort, our academic achievement, our skill in one area or another. As a young athlete, I learned very early it was all about performance. That's all the coaches really cared about. And I was back in the day where it was first, second, and third place to get a trophy or a ribbon. You learned whether you were a top performer or you were not very quickly. And part of coming up through the ranks was delaying the sense of significance that one day I'll be good enough. I'll be on top. I'll be the one that takes home the trophy and the medal and the ribbon. And we don't just leave that in our childhood and our youth sports. We take that into the corporate room as well, don't we? It's our performance, and it's true. If you can solve big problems, we'll pay you big money. If you don't make your numbers, then pretty quickly you're going to be working for someone else. And it's not as though that's bad business. Don't misunderstand me. But we begin to believe that we're only significant if we're moving up the ladder. We're hoping and praying for our next promotion and our next increase in pay. Because, of course, that'll help us with our pleasures. Again, here's what Ecclesiastes says. Some people work wisely with their knowledge and skill. Then they must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. Well, hasn't that happened in your work life? You did a lot of work and somebody else got the credit? Yeah, here we are retired and one day we'll pass away and our estate will trickle down. And, well, some of those kids deserve it and some of them don't. True? We want to be top performers. Yes, everybody wants to be good at their skill and ability. But when we make that the bullseye on the target, thinking somehow that's going to bring fulfillment and significance into our lives, we end up a little empty. We end up half full. We're still yearning for that which will give us definitive divine meaning and purpose. The third way that we take matters into our own hands is our possessions. Now, we all like our stuff. But it's amazing how oftentimes people define themselves by their stuff. Their bigger house, their numerous cars, their activities over here and over there. Our possessions. Possessions are good. We like bigger and better, more numerous, more expensive. But once again, if that defines us, hear what Solomon says. He who loves money will never have enough. Never have enough. I believe that significance, the secret to significance, is discovered and uncovered in our nature as children of God. That God created us in His image. And that has created a yearning in us that drives us to seeking God. To discovering that God has been seeking us. And it resonates with us past, present, and heavenly future. Because it transcends the limits of our pleasure, of our performance, of our possessions. The key to significance is discovered in our identity in Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who believe in Him and accept Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And it's being a child of God, it's being a part of God's forever family that truly bestows upon us the significance that we're seeking. Because it transcends the moment. And it looks for eternity. To be a child of God in this moment, but also be a part of His forever family. And so it raises a great question: what do we hunger and thirst for? What do we really hunger and thirst for? What is the target, the index of significance in our life? I'll use food and drink as an analogy. You know, when we're young, or when I was young, let's see, I'd eat anything that was dead and wouldn't fight back. And I'd probably drink just about anything that wasn't mud. Well, then I got older and, now I've moved from that to hamburgers, French fries, and a soda. It's great food. In fact, you can get it and you can get it on the go no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing. Well, then one day we mature a little bit more and we realize why you can sit while you eat. And because it's what we can afford, we go to Denny's. Right? Oh, and then we mature some more and let's see, instead of a Denny's meal with perhaps a milkshake, now we've graduated to an entree with side dishes. And now we're drinking wine in a carafe. Or maybe some fancy tea, peach tea, raspberry tea. And you know where I'm headed. Then we move to more expensive meals and more expensive beverages. Yet it's amazing that even though we can eat a meal and drink fit for a king, it's not all that satisfying. Our hunger isn't addressed. Our thirst is not slaked. And the only way that really happens is as we know Jesus Christ and we enter into this sanctification process. We get on God's path and now it makes sense. Now I have a significance that is not of my effort, but it's bestowed upon me by God. Not surprising, Jesus said that he was the bread of life. Not surprising that Jesus said that he gives a water that once you drink it, you'll never thirst again. John 6, 35 and 40. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life." See, Isaiah is right. I'm going to jump back up here if you're in the tech booth. See, we're all looking for that, but we don't really find it till we find Jesus. Listen to what Isaiah says. "Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food." Now we know that Isaiah is not talking about food, but spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. And Jesus has come to satisfy our hunger and to slake our thirst. It is in Jesus Christ, because we were created in the image of God, we do yearn to connect with God, with the divine. And we look for a significance that lasts, not a mere moment or two in our life, but a significance that lasts as our performance declines, pleasure declines, possessions decline. See, we are looking for something that will make it from this world to the next. And that is our nature and character in Jesus Christ. See, if you're searching, given your hunger and thirst, you need not look any farther than Jesus. I mean, when you start at the top, there's no reason to look anyplace else. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. If you're searching, there's three things to learn from the woman at the well. You know the story. Jesus is standing around the well. He's there at noontime. It's important because everybody who was up and going early, all the proper people around town, they got their water early. Why do it in the heat of the middle of the day? Do it early. And so the people that were a little in the margins and a little ashamed. They're the ones that came at noontime. And she comes to Jesus, and he says, can you give me some water? She says, well, water, you didn't even bring a bucket or a cup. She gives him some water, and he gives her a living water. And he makes a great declaration to her that, no, if you drink of the water that I give you, well, your thirst will be satisfied for all eternity. In fact, you'll never be thirsty in that way ever again. And then Jesus gets into a conversation with this Samaritan woman about her husband and her recent life. And, well, Jesus knew things that no one else really knew, and she knew that he was a prophet, that he was the Messiah, that she had found a significance in his eyes that she never expected. As someone of the wrong side of the track, someone, well, a woman, and a woman with a bad reputation as well. She would have never expected that Jesus would have included her. Yet he did. Sometimes we think God would never include us. But he does. Once we can empty our hands of pleasure and performance and possessions, we're ready to take up and eat and drink. Here's what we learn from the woman at the well if we're searching for Jesus. Number one, we need to acknowledge that we're searching for him. That Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and that he offers us a wonderful eternal gift. Here's what Jesus says. If you only knew the gift God has for you, if we only knew that, and you know we don't always know that. I didn't always know that. Got invited to a youth group. They could have boxed me out very easily. Just like Jesus could have ignored the woman at the well. But instead of excluding me, they included me, and I was able to hear something I had never heard before. At least I couldn't remember hearing it. And what I heard is, oh, Jesus has a wonderful gift for me. Well, I had hungered and thirst for a lot of different things. What I ate and what I drank, so to speak. Oh, yes, I was looking for significance and impact. And once I heard, I wanted to hear more and know more. Yeah, Jesus does have a gift for us. We not only need to acknowledge that, but we need to ask for it. And the woman finally does in the conversation with Jesus. She says, please, sir, give me this water that you're talking about. And Jesus doesn't hold it back. Jesus offers it to her. And he said, no, here's the water that you really want. Here's the life that you're really looking for. Here's the significance that you really are looking for. And it's not only good today, but it's good for all days, for all eternity. Jesus says, those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. See, we know eternal significance. We know spiritual significance. Why? Because it bubbles up inside of us. And no matter what comes our way, no matter what is on our path, as God transforms us, we can feel the bubbling up inside of us. The Holy Spirit is transforming us from the inside out. God gives us a hunger and thirst for Him so that we can discover Him. We can be dedicated to Him and that we might enjoy Him not only today, but for all eternity. Let us pray. Lord, it's true, not everyone knows that You're the bread of life, that You're the one that gives us water, that slakes the thirst of our soul, the yearning of our soul. Lord, always make us sensitive to the bubbling up inside of us. Lord, allow us to know the path that You've placed us on. Please illumine that by Your word. Lord, today reminds us that there are people that don't know that we need to tell. And we don't need to hold them off. Instead, we need to invite them in so that they too might hear the truth that will set them free, satisfy their hunger, slake their thirst. Jesus, thank You for being that kind of a personal God. Help us to feel Your presence and Your direction as we seek You this day and every day. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned the other week, it shouldn't surprise us that Jesus is the bread of life, that He's the living water. Because as we seek significance and as we seek to connect with God, Jesus makes it clear, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father except by Me. Amen.